You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso.
Welcome to this edition of Focus on Campus. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting in for Louis Sines. And coming around this weekend, starting on the 15th for two shows, and also on the December 19th and December 20th at the Wise Family Theater, story of greed, avarice, epiphany, a little bit of faith, and a lot of charity towards the tail end of it. And it's not anything contemporary. This is A Christmas Carol. Joining us is Richard Nielsen.
Thank you for having me.
You play Scrooge. It's probably one of the most recognized roles in theater.
Oh, I would definitely agree with that. I'd even say some characters have even been inspired by him, like the Grinch, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to live up to.
When you tried out for this role, did you even for a moment think about the magnitude of what you were stepping into?
Not in the slightest. But going into it, this actually being my last show here at UTEP, I'm so ecstatic to be able to let such a huge, iconic role be my last hoorah, as you would say. So it's just it's amazing. I'm learning more about him every day.
Take us through the whole process from the time that you were chosen to become Ebenezer Scrooge to where you are to open the show this coming Sunday.
Well, starting off, just getting the role of Scrooge was takes your breath away. But going through it to play such a character, I really dwelled on what, you know, he represents, which is at the beginning is, this hatred, this undeniable loathe of Christmas and spirit and cheer, to the end where he's the exact opposite, where he is, you know, what everybody, I hate saying this, but should be during Christmas, goodwill towards man. So I really tried to focus on really showing this horrible hurt and just kicked, you know, man, so that when you reach the end, this new revelation is so much stronger. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things that to be Scrooge, you have to really show, you know, get across to the audience, because this show, being Scrooge, is a rarity, because I would say that not only am I the protagonist, but in a way I'm also the antagonist as well, because it's a story about him fighting his own demons.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of work, and you know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, about age and stuff like that. I'm thinking that's the last thing on my mind, you know.
Yeah.
But our director, Austin Savage, actually put it pretty spot on the nose. If I'm not physically and emotionally exhausted every rehearsal, by the end of the day, then I'm doing something wrong.
Mm.
And I do. I leave the stage sweating and just my heart's bursting and I'm just, So, but it's a trip. It really is. And I love it.
Honestly, I don't see how you could not think in terms of the age in some realms, but really and truly, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
Because the persona of Ebenezer Scrooge has always been one to start to be very stoic, and it doesn't matter how young or old. I mean, that's just the way he was.
Right.
Until the epiphany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing is that, you know, as much as I may, you know, I do play with, you know, what his ailments are physically and stuff like that, while he's among these spirits, it doesn't affect him. And so there's not a whole lot of, I guess, I don't want to say reason, but it's not a huge factor, because for so much of the play, it doesn't affect him. So it's not something to be, you know, focused on.
And that's a unique aspect of this year's production of A Christmas Carol. It sounds to me as though you're tapping in more into, quote unquote, the supernatural end of this whole thing.
Yeah, definitely. Marley, for example, Jacob Marley, the first spirit, Scrooge's dead partner that appears to him at the very beginning and tells him basically how things are and what's going to happen to him. We are definitely, without spoiling anything, of course, taking a whole different approach to him and, you know, what everything from the way he looks to the way he sounds to, you know, making him more unique to the story as opposed to just the, you know, again, the common, you know, overdone, you know, repetition of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people kind of glance at him, but he really is the story in itself.
My goodness.
Know? So, and yeah, all the ghosts are really, really being basically redone, so it's going to be very interesting.
How did you start in acting to get to where you are now?
Well, it's what I would call a happy accident, I guess, because it started for me in high school. You know, I unfortunately was a class clown. I was this slacker. I was like, college, who wants that? I'll be, you know, a rock star, a basketball player. But I had to talk to the counselor at one point, and she told me you need an art class. And so she started listing off stuff like, well, what about art? Nah. What about dance? Pfft, no, thank you. And the last thing she said was theater, and I was going, oh, you know, why not? It sounds like an easy A, you know. And I had that attitude towards it. And going in, I didn't think much of it, but it was the most amazing thing because the second I stood on that stage and just did a, you know, little nothing scene, I don't know, it brought something out in me and I've just fell in love with it. And it actually, with the help of my theater teacher in high school, really drove me to become not just a better person, but a better student and, you know, really strive to be better than what I was. So, you know, it's kind of Scroogey, I guess you could say.
Well, you know, think about it from the grander scope of things. When you're a class clown, you're looking for some kind of reinforcement from your classmates. So that Freud would say you're tapping into your superego or your alter ego in order to gain favor.
Right. Yeah.
But when you step up on stage for the legitimate theater and you find that you have this raw talent that can be nurtured, all of a sudden it's like, hey.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, yeah. And it's not only that, but the people from high school and especially now at UTEP, the people around me, my fellow actors, stage, you know, crew and techies and all those people, they have become a second family to me. And I'm so thankful for them. Because they really just, you know, kept pushing and pushing and, you know, really brought out this person that I am today. So
you have this cast in A Christmas Carol. You want to give them a shout out?
Oh, well, it'd be so big we'd be here for about another half hour. But
it's okay. We're good.
Yeah, no. You know, guys like Brian, who's playing Marley, Roland, who is our Dickens this year, who's essentially the narrator, who's also playing, who does a double role as Cratchit. He's been a wonderful, energetic part of the story. To, you know, all the kids, I could go, the list goes on. I'm thankful for every single one of them. A lot of the thing about Christmas Carol this year that I like is being an experienced actor. There's a lot of new upcoming talent in the show really trying to show their stuff. And I'm really thankful because I'm getting to not only watch them, you know, start this process that I went through, but myself in my own way trying to help them along too. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm giving them something back.
Nice. Let's talk about the show dates. Starting on Sunday with the 2:30 and the 7 o'clock performance.
Yes.
There are special things for virtually everybody.
Yes, actually, for every single show, there is something special about it. For example, the 2:30 show on December 15th is UTEP alumni. where essentially all alumni with proof of it, of course, are eligible for a buy one, get one free offer for the tickets. The night show for that same day is UTEP faculty and staff. So they get a buy one, get one free. December 19th is military. All military personnel are more than welcome. And the 20th is El Paso City employee. So they also get recognition for that.
Neat holiday gifts for just about anybody and everybody on your holiday schedule. And a Christmas carol at the Wise Family Theater. For those who've never been to the Wise Family Theater, it's an easy place to get to once you get on into the parking garage.
Yes, actually, it's the second floor of the Fox Fine Arts building, which is actually located directly behind the Sun Bowl parking garage. So you can just take one of the ramps and you're right there.
Cool deal. Back to the Christmas carol, back to your role, especially when you start really moving into this whole thing. I mean, you've got to put a mindset into how you're going to portray each one of the Christmas past, present, and the future.
Yeah, there is a unique, I guess, even though I'm not a fan of the word, attitudes mm-hmm. towards each of these spirits, because they all represent a different part of his life, you know, past, present, and future. But a thing that I've definitely been striving for is the what Scrooge, I guess, represents with each of these things. Like one of the metaphors that Austin had given me is Scrooge is like a child behind a mask, you know, even as he is right now. And so seeing all these different things occurring around him is really it has to hit him in a certain way. And it can't just be generic, you know, oh, that's sad, or oh, that's happy. It's got to really hit home, because otherwise when he gets to this revelation at the end, it's not as big a deal. Yeah. So
in the process of rehearsal and whatnot, has there ever been a moment during this production process when you look at Tiny Tim and you wind up with your own epiphany of who Tiny Tim really does represent?
Yeah, I would say so. Tiny Tim is easily the way I see him is the spirit of Christmas itself. You know, he is joy humanized, you know. Some might even say he's like a second coming of Jesus, you know, because he's just with all this that ails him, he's still just so full of cheer and joy towards the world. I would say that I see him as basically what Scrooge always wished he could be, okay. but never got the opportunity to.
Well, that's curious.
Yeah, and so, and so that's, I think that adds a powerful element to what I see in Tiny Tim.
You know, I agree about the whole process of having to really get into the head of Ebenezer Scrooge in order to make this character real. When you first read the book itself, it's, if you're not used to Old English, it can be really, really difficult. But I have to tell you, Richard, I think you've hit the gold mine on this role, and this can propel you to bigger and better things as well.
I can only hope.
What do you plan to do after the degree?
Well, after graduation, I'm looking into auditioning for a couple of different theater companies around the United States. So, you know, here's hoping. Later on down the road, if all things go well, maybe even teach so that I can basically do to some students what my teachers did for me.
Is this the toughest role you've ever had?
Yeah, probably. Just because there is so much, you know, different stuff that, I mean, Scrooge never gets a break. You know, as soon as they, you know, one ghost is done, it's like the next one's just bam there, and you're going, oh, can't I just sleep? Just let me take a breather for a second. But at the same time, it's just it keeps you on your toes. And I think that's what I'm hoping that the audience goes along for that ride with me, is just, you know, no, don't blink, because you'll miss something. So.
Well, Richard Nielsen, thank you so much for coming in and really putting a nice spotlight on the character. There's a very difficult character to maintain, Ebenezer Scrooge, because there's so many different personas from the start to the end. I can't wait to see this production.
Oh, well, I hope you like it.
The production of A Christmas Carol comes up starting this Sunday afternoon at 2:30 and a 7 o'clock show, then December 19th at 7 p.m. and December 20th at 7 p.m. And information at 747-5118. It's all up on our website as soon as we're finished airing the Focus on Campus. Richard Nielsen, again, congratulations on the role. Congratulations on graduation. Good luck in the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios on the campus of the University of Texas at El Paso. For Louis Sines, I'm Dennis Wu. Have a great day.